जय रघुनाथ भगवान कुंज बिहारी गोपी बाबा जीवन यशुरानंदा जगन्नंदा
Continuing in Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 2, Verse 35, as we conclude from yesterday. Bhagavan, Sarvam Bhuteshu Lakshita Svapnana Hari Vrishaya Buddhi Adhidhir Drashta Lakshanir Anumapakai Bhagavan Sarva Bhuteshu Lakshita Svapnana Hari Vishyaya Bhuvyari Vidrashta Lakshana Anupapakai Bhagavan Sarva Bhuteshu Lakshita Svapnana Hari Vishyadudhyadivirdrashta Lakshana Anupapakai Bhagavan Sarabhuteshu Lakshita Svapnana Hari Drashya Duryadi Vidrashta Lakshana Anupa Anumapakai. Please chant.
Bhagavan
Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Sarvam, Bhuteshu, in the living entities. Lakshita is visible. Svatmana, along with the self. Hari, the Lord. Drishyam, by what is seen. Buddhi Arivi, by the intelligence. Drishta, one who sees. Lakshanai, by different signs. Anumapakai, by hypothesis. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is in every living being along with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. Poor Prashuri Prabhupada picking up where Madhavati left off yesterday. At this point in our investigation, we may consider the following question. On the one hand, we realize that all our perceptions and activities are conditioned by arrangements of material nature. Yet, we also ordinarily feel and say, I am perceiving, or I am doing. Therefore, we can say that our material senses of perception and action are moving because we are identifying the self with the material body, and that the superior principle of super-self is guiding and supplying us according to our desire. By taking advantage of the guidance of super-self in the form of intelligence, we can either continue to study and to put into practice our conclusion that I am not this body, or we can choose to remain in the false material identification, fancying ourselves to be the possessors and the doers. Our freedom consists in orienting our desire either towards the ignorant material conception or the true spiritual conception. We can easily attain to the true spiritual conception by recognizing the super self, Paramatma, to be our friend and guide, and by dovetailing our intelligence with the super intelligence of Paramatma. The super self and the individual self are both spirit, and therefore the super self and the individual self are both qualitatively one and distinct from matter. But the super self and the individual self cannot be on an equal level, because the super self gives direction or supplies intelligence, and the individual self follows the directions, and thus actions are performed properly. The individual is completely dependent on the direction of the super self, because in every step, the individual self follows the direction of the super self in the matter of seeing, hearing, thinking, feeling, willing, etc. So far as common sense is concerned, we come to the conclusion that there are three identities, namely matter, spirit, and super spirit. Now, if we go to the Bhagavad Gita of the Vedic intelligence, we can further understand that all three identities, namely matter, individual spirit, and the super spirit, are all dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The super soul is a partial representation or preliminary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavad Gita affirms that the Supreme Personality of Godhead dominates all over the material world by his partial representation only. God is great, and he cannot be simply an order supplier of the individual selves. Therefore, the super self cannot be a full representation of the Supreme Self, Purushottam, the Absolute Personality of Godhead. Realization of the super self by the individual self is the beginning of self-realization, and by the progress of such self-realization, one is able to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by intelligence, by the help of authorized scriptures, and principally by the grace of the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary conception of the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the further explanation of the science of Godhead. So, if we stick to our determination and pray to the mercy of the Director of Intelligence sitting within the same bodily tree, like a bird sitting with another bird, as explained in the Upanishads, certainly the purport of the revealed information in the Vedas becomes clear to our vision, and there is no difficulty in realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. The intelligent man, therefore, after many bursts of such use of intelligence, surrenders himself at the lotus feet of Vasudeva, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, verse 19. Tumarandasya, Jananjana Shalakaya, Chaksin, Militamina Tasman, Sigur Vilmaha, Mukam Karoti Bachanam, Pandundam Jayati Guru, Yakripa Tamahan Bande, Shri Guru Dimitari, Dulce Kapatri Vischa, Kripa Sindhu Bahirucha, Patitanam Pavani, Vashna Devi Namaha, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Tananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I think it was probably easier for Varuna to share the room with Madhavati than it is for me to follow her very erudite, studious, and well-formulated class yesterday. But as Varuna managed to carry on, I'll also try and do my best to carry on. Actually, I was speaking with Tanaha on Sunday, and we were discussing the two different types of class giving. One with notes, that I only and one without notes. Now, to be clear, it's not that one is superior to the other, but each speaker on the Bhagavat has their own nature. But in regards to the three of us, what we were discussing, as well as many other people I know, the development of a studious approach with noted steps, formulating a conclusion, a presentation, this works better for some of us. So, and this is a point that Madhumati noted yesterday, that the process of studying, of learning, and of educating ourselves on the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is, after all, why we have the daily study of Srimad Bhagavatam, Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. Because it is a process of study that indicates some constructive method of looking at the subject. People casually, you know, take classes in the university and, you know, whatever educational facility they're in, randomly because maybe it's required or they just have to fill a few credits. This is not the mannerism that we study the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam should be studied very detailedly and very concisely with a desire to understand what is the meaning being imported to us. Now, in this particular purport, wow, we can really clearly see that Prabhupada is the disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Such a high, erudite, and detailed level of explanation is there in this verse. And it's very interesting and analytical in the way that Prabhupada uses the phrase to start this section of the purport off. At this point in our investigation, this again refers to a studious nature. If there is an investigation of a crime scene or some, we get this big thing going on in politics right now, the big investigation, this indicates that there's a very detailed study of the circumstances, a very deep effort to understand what is taking place, what is being said, what is being implicated. So this is what Prabhupada is doing here. He's pointing out that this is an investigation into our spiritual life, into our effort to get out of this material world, into our effort to raise ourselves out of the mundane society that we're living in. Now, this process of investigation of the Bhagavatam, this clearly shows that the process is not a blind following. It's not a sentimental pursuit, but it is an intentional and deliberate analysis of the subject matter at hand. This is how we should approach the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. We see that normally, if you go to the doctor's office, you know, they have a variety of mostly useless magazines there. You know, this personality did that personality did that, you know, whatever, all these different subjects. But what Prabhupada calls it, on the third canto, Grimikata, the village talk. That same section of the Bhagavatam describes it as Matigni, Kukata, words that kill the intelligence. So one casually picks these things up and brings through no real interest. Well, I mean, some people do. I remember when I was young, of course we all know what soap operas are. My grandmother, God bless her, was addicted to soap operas. I mean, she watched them diligently. Of course, she had nothing else going on in her life. You know, she didn't have any devotional practices to perform. But I remember she would talk with my mother, I would overhear these conversations about these characters in the soap operas as if they were real personalities that had an impact on her life. And Mary did this, and John did, you know, and did you know that as a result, you know. And I remember even the young teenager was listening to this and thinking, what a waste of time. Of course, you know, made my grandmother happy, so, you know, like I say, God bless her. But the point is that these are not subject matters that will give us any benefit. These are not subject matters that have a basis in reality. These soap operas, they're completely imaginary. The format is imaginary, the people are imaginary, the writers are making it all up out of their, you know, so there's nothing substantial there. There's nothing that has any duration. Bhagavatam is completely different. The Bhagavatam is a process for studying and deeply analyzing this subject matter, which will benefit us. And by doing that, it brings about and foundationally gives us a solid platform upon which the bhakti experience can be completed as a whole package. Not just with our intelligence, not just with our mind, not just with our words, not just with our actions, but everything. We see the word holistic used a lot nowadays. The study of the Bhagavad Gita brings about a holistic impact on our life. So this is why it's so important. This is why Prabhupada gives us Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, studying the Bhagavad Gita regularly. Now it's also interesting how Prabhupada is basically in this section of Prabhupada referring to the origins of our understanding the principles of devotional life by referencing early sections of the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, we all know the Bhagavad Gita is like the foundation of our devotional practices. You know, and in the second chapter, verse 22, Prabhupada quotes this point, and I'd like to make it again since Prabhupada refers to it. The Vedas, like the Mundaka Upanishad, as well as the Svetashvara Upanishad, compare the soul and the super soul to two friendly birds sitting in the same tree. One of the birds, the individual atomic soul, is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other bird, Krishna, is simply watching his friend. Very important word there, his friend. Of these two birds, although they are the same in quality, one is captivated by the fruits of the tree, while the other is simply witnessing the activities of his friend. Here again, his friend. Krishna is the witnessing bird, and Arjuna is the eating bird. Although they are friends, one is still the master and the other is the servant. Forgetfulness of this relationship by the atomic soul is the cause of one's changing his position from one tree to another or from one body to another. The jiva soul is struggling very hard on the tree of the material body, but as soon as he agrees to accept the other bird as the supreme spiritual master, as Arjuna agreed to by voluntarily surrendering to Krishna for instruction, the subordinate bird immediately becomes free from all lamentation. It's such an important phrase, free from all lamentation. Both the Katha Upanishad and the Svetasara Upanishad confirm this, quote, although there are two birds in the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and moroseness as the enjoyer of the fruits of the tree. But if in some way or another that bird turns his face to his friend, who is the Lord, and knows his glories, at once the suffering bird becomes free from all anxieties. Here again, the word is friend. Krishna is Supri, is our loving friend. Arjuna has now turned his face towards his eternal friend Krishna, and is understanding the Bhagavad Gita from him. And thus, hearing from Krishna, he can understand the supreme glories of the Lord and be free from lamentation. So right here, tying into the point the Prabhupada's making in this purport, is the very, very essential fact that we are in this body trying to enjoy. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his immense kindness and friendship, has come along with us. You know, sometimes you'll have a friend say, hey, Prabhu, let's go to such time. No, no, come on, we're going to you. All right, let's go. You don't really want to go, but, you know, you go along. And, you know, how should I say, previous times in our life, situations like that might have been filled with just watching your friend make a total fool of himself. I've had that experience. You know, high school, a buddy will say, oh, come on, no, really, let's go. And then they go out and they just do stupid stuff and look like an idiot. You know, and you just kind of sit there and like, all right. And then the next morning you say, what did I do last night? Yeah, right. This is the plight of the living entity. Suffering like this, engaging themselves in all types of activities that simply dull their brain, distract their memory, and obliterate all spiritual possibilities. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is simply watching this and shaking his head. So this is an opportunity, verses like this, to try and understand how we can turn, as Arjuna turns to Krishna, how we, as that bird trying to enjoy the fruit, can turn to Krishna for some guidance, for some direction. Now, in this purport, it's interesting also, Prabhupada uses the phrase super self for the super soul, as he uses it in the second chapter, 22nd verse of the Bhagavad Gita. The indication is the same either way. A personality of greater position than us, namely Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purushottam, Krishna, super soul, super self, Prabhupada uses a variety of words, Paramatma, all indicating that Supreme Personality of Godhead, to whom we are connected, but most times ignoring. And this, it's interesting, the word ignore is a root word for ignorance. By ignoring someone, you become ignorant of what they're trying to give us. So these activities that we're performing bring about a level of ignorance in our life that can be completely eliminated, fully engrossed in anxiety and neurosis. But when one turns his face towards the personality of Godhead, at once the suffering bird becomes free from anxieties. At once! This is quite an amazing statement, but it's true. We've experienced it. By taking to the path of devotional service, we become free from all these different anxieties. Now, additionally, in this section of the purport, twice in this remaining portion, Prabhupada uses the word therefore. Now this is a conclusive word, therefore. It shows a combination of bringing together different points in a solid presentation with definitive evidence. Here again, when the lawyer is in front of the judge, they make their presentation, therefore, if you get a decree, you know, when my father passed away, actually the state senate in Missouri passed a decree honoring my father. Therefore we recognize like that. Therefore is the conclusion. Because of all these things, therefore. So Prabhupada's making these points. As I said, very erudite purport. I mean, wow, such deep spiritual information. And clearly defining the difference between the spiritual individual soul and the supreme spirit soul. And after defining all that, Prabhupada says, therefore. And this is how Prabhupada presents the entire Vedic library of knowledge to us. In this definitive manner, giving it as evidence. And this purport, Prabhupada refers to, in this portion of the reading, no less than four times the four points to different Vedic literatures. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Visupanishad, Vyadupanishad. Any qualified writer, and by the way, that's not me, but I know a little bit about it. Any qualified writer knows that you always give supportive references to any point that you make. Any good research or any study book will always have in it a selection of footnotes at the end of the chapter. Point is made, boom, footnote number one, boom, number two, boom. And sometimes you read a book that has 300 footnotes in it, you know? This is because the points are being referenced. And this was what was concluded at the end of Manamati's class yesterday. That one has to give references to what they're speaking about. This removes all doubt. And that's what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada so strongly sought to do that for us, to remove all doubt. Prabhupada did not speak in some unclear, wishy-washy, flowery. I remember before I came to Krishna consciousness, when I was hitchhiking around America, I stopped at one ashram in Denton, Texas. I was staying there for some time, and there was some yogi there, some totally bogus guy. Anyway, you know, he would always say, you know, you go to him for darshan, he would say some flowery, poetic thing that was like, what the hell did he just say? What does that mean? How do I apply that to my life? You know, but it sounded wonderful, and he would smile, and everybody would smile, and I think, oh, enough of this crap. Prabhupada was not like that. Prabhupada had that beautiful side, you know. You know, sitting in his rooms in Mayapur, relaxed, like was being referred to, you know, just having a, you know, pleasant time with his disciples. But when it came to speaking on the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada was very clear, very concise, so that it will remove our doubts. But why do we have doubts? We have doubts due to our contact with the material nature, as Prabhupada would say, since time immemorial. We've not been satisfied. We've not found true lasting happiness. We've not been free from suffering. But we have found birth, death, old age, and disease. We found that very nicely. So we have a natural doubt of anything else other than what we've experienced. Suffering, unhappiness, birth, death, old age, disease. What do you mean there's something different than that? This is the foundation and influence of the mind-body concept. And it's nothing any different. I've experienced all this. It's the same thing, so I'll just reject it all. And this is why, after making so much effort to remove that doubt from us by his speaking, by his writing, by his presentation of the books, Prabhupada quotes Mahaprabhu in advising us and warning us not to associate with Mayavadi teachings. Now, Mahaprabhu himself had one particular associate that this was an issue with. That's Sri Mukundadutt. Mukundadutt was a very important associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mukundadutt actually lived very near the village of Pundarik Vidyaniti. I love talking about Pundarik Vidyaniti. His whole pastime is just so amazing. But that's a different story for a different day. So, in the Gaura Desha Deepika of Kavi Kornapur, we find that the identity of Mukundadutt and his brother are given. There were two of them. Quote, in Braja, there are two very nice singers named Madhukanta and Madhuvrata. And Madhu, you get this essence there, Madhu, sweet honey. So there were singers, and Sunday that led the kirtan, I told him, I said, let me look at your neck. He said, what? I said, I'm just checking to see if it's silver coated. It was such a sweet sound coming out of it. So these two brothers, Madhuvrata and Madhukanta, appeared in Chaitanya Lila as the brothers Mukunda and Vasudeva, who were singers in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, when Mahaprabhu was a student, during his early student days and his early grihastha lila both, Mukunda was in his class and was a classmate. And they were quite friendly, but Mahaprabhu really enjoyed engaging in logical arguments with Mukunda, with many of his classmates. As a matter of fact, at that time he was a well-known magician, and that was what he would do. And he would get into verbal fights with Mukunda. This is all very detailedly described in the Chaitanya Bhagavata Adi Kanda chapters, both 11 and 12. And just a little dive into there. The Lord would question Mukunda about philosophy and about logic, and then he would present a point and then argue that point with Mukunda. And then they would go back and forth like this. And by the power personality, Godhead, Mukunda was a great devotee, but had no interest in all of this. So the Lord would constantly engage his servant like this, his eternal servant, and he would use tricks of logic and defeat him. And when Srivas and others would come, he would use the same logic and defeat them as well. So as a result, most of his classmates began to fear hanging out with him, to use the phrase. They feared his word jugglery. And they feared that, you know, he would defeat them and embarrass them all, so they would usually flee. Now, devotees, you know, they're generally renounced, and they like tasting the nectar. You know, there's a phrase, oh, Prabhu, there's going to be some nectar tonight. You know, so the devotees appreciated this, and they were not interested in all this logical debate and conversation like this. And so, you know, seeing him, the Lord would start down the road of Katha, Krishna Katha, and then he would trick them into some kind of debate on logic, and the devotees wouldn't answer it, and then he would mock them for not knowing an answer, and in this way, several of his associates at that time avoided Mahaprabhu, and we might find it at the time. One day the Lord was surrounded by all of his students. He was walking down the main street of Navadvip, and it was marked, as it describes in Chaitanya Bhagavad, he was marked with signs of pride and arrogance. You've seen that person. And as he was walking down the main street, Mukunda was leaving his ashram to go and bathe in the Ganga. And Mukunda saw in the distance, oh, there's Mahaprabhu and his students. So he very quickly took a turn down a side street, but took a back path to go to the Ganga. Now, the Lord saw this, and he saw that Mukunda had more or less run from him. And Mahaprabhu turned to Govinda, and he said, wasn't that Mukunda? Why did he run away when he saw me? Govinda said, oh, Panditji, I don't really know. Perhaps he had some task that he had to perform elsewhere, and he just remembered to go. And the Lord said, no. I know why he has fled. He does not want to talk about material things with me and argue logic. This boy is always studying, this Mukunda, is always studying these Vaishnava scriptures. And I am only talking about logic and astronomy. I never talk about Krishna, and that's why he runs away from me. The Lord then began to mock Mukunda, but in truth, Mahaprabhu was very pleased with Mukunda. And the Lord said, he called out, because Mukunda was not there for him. Oh, Mukunda, how many days will you pass engaging like this? How many days will you avoid me going this way and that way? And the Lord laughed out loud, very loud, and he said, after some time, you will see the marks of a Vaishnava on me. I will become such a Vaishnava that Brahma and Shiva will come to my door. Oh, disciples, brothers, please hear my words. I will one day become the best of Vaishnavas. Those who run away from me will soon run towards me, singing my glories. And after speaking like this, the Lord laughed. Now, Vrindavan Das Thakur describes the mood of pride and arrogance, and we can see it in these words, but it's a transcendental pastime when it's present in the personality of Godhead. If any of us were to say like that, one day I'll be the greatest Vaishnava. Everybody will throw tomatoes, you know. Get out of here, you arrogant fool. But Mahaprabhu was both predicting the future and engaging in his pastime. So once Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, and we all know what took place there, and then he returned, he was a completely changed person. And at that time, his relationship with Mukundadat changed also, because Mukundadat was very well-versed in all the Vaishnava literatures. And so Mukundadat would regularly recite different verses to bring out the mood of Krishna Lila in Mahaprabhu. This verse from the Bhagavatam, and this verse from here and there and like that. And it was always very, very satisfying. Actually, Mukunda was also instrumental in Gadadhar Pandit becoming a disciple of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. This is also told in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 7. That's a whole other story, which, as I mentioned, I really like to tell. Anyway, after this change in the nature of the relationship, Mukundadat began to manifest that Madhukanta pastime of Krishna and began to sing anytime he was with Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu was having his kirtans at Srivasangam in the courtyard, Mukunda would sing very nicely different types of Krishna lila songs, and Mahaprabhu would dance very nicely to his singings. One time, Mahaprabhu manifested, 21 hours, this ecstatic manifestation. It's Mahaprakash, and Mukunda inaugurated that pastime that took place by his singing. So he became very instrumental in bringing out this higher mood that manifested in Mahaprabhu after his visit to Gaya. Now, sometimes though, and this is where I bring the point back around to how I diverged to this, sometimes Mahaprabhu would chastise Mukunda. He would call him, let me get this right here, Karajatiya Beda. And he would accuse him like this because Mukunda had the habit of attending all kinds of functions, even those by non-devotees and non-Vaishnavas, you know. This is described in the Madhya Kanda, chapter 10, that he would go to many different types of Vaishnava assemblies and speak, but then he would go to different Mayavadi groups and speak, and he would go to different non-Vaishnava groups and speak. Anytime he got an opportunity, he would go. Didn't matter to him who or where. So this didn't please Mahaprabhu that he was, you know, going here, going down like that. And Mahaprabhu actually blessed Mukunda by punishing him. And by that punishment, he got, he vanquished all these mental considerations in his mind. Now, Srila Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila gives a purport to this. And he mentions how Mukunda was actually forbidden to come into the association of Mahaprabhu because of this association. What happened was when Mahaprabhu was manifesting his Mahaprakash Lila, he was inviting different devotees and he was in such a generous mood of giving this devotee in and according to that devotee's desire, boom, and this devotee in and oh, boom, and this devotee, oh, blessings, oh, and this, and just everyone's desire was being fulfilled. Mukundadat was standing outside the door waiting for his name to be called. You know, when I got my Brahmin initiation, I remember Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his room, this is in Chicago in 75, and we were all lined up outside the door just waiting, okay, so-and-so, Chaturatma, just waiting for a name to be called. So Mukundadat was just waiting at the door and wasn't being called. And the devotees informed him, Mahaprabhu, Mukunda is just waiting for you. The Lord cried, Mukunda? I shall not be pleased with Mukunda. He goes and explains devotional service to the devotees, but then he also goes to the Mayavadis and hears from them and speaks there and hears so much Mayavadi philosophy. For this activity, I am greatly displeased with him. Now just imagine this scene. Mahaprabhu is in this Mahaprakasha sitting on the altar, giving benedictions and blessings and fulfilling everyone's desire in this completely magnanimous mood, except for Mukunda. He gets nothing. What a devastating circumstance that would be. So when Mukunda, you know, he's at the door, it's not like he's on another planet, he's at the door, and when he hears Mahaprabhu speak like this, I mean, what will we do? Be completely depressed and downtrodden and no. Mukunda became very happy. He became exceedingly glad that the Lord had noticed him. Although he wasn't pleased with him, the Lord had noticed me. Now, when he understood why the Lord was unhappy with him, he decided, I will give up such association. I will no longer associate with these Mayavadis. And Mahaprabhu understood this was in his mind and immediately became pleased with him. And he called Mukunda in and speaking with him, he delivered him from that desire for associating with these Mayavadi type personalities and gave him the desire for associating only with pure devotees. So this shows a couple of things here. First of all, it shows how the devotee when chastised, you know, sometimes you read Prabhupada's various servants, Prabhupada would chastise them, and they never thought, oh, my life's done, let me just go drown myself in the Jamuna, I'm finished here. He took it as a great blessing. Prabhupada's notice, maybe not in the most favorable way, but, and they never took it as anything other than an impetus to improve themselves. So that's one thing Mukundadat shows here. Another thing is Mukundadat shows his humility. He's waiting at the door. He's not pushing his way forward, you know, trying to get up to the front. Oh, no, wait, wait, I'm Mukunda, you know, I go to school with him, he's something, you know. No, he was very humbly waiting at the door. Another factor here is that once he understood what he had done that displeased the Lord, immediately he changed his consciousness, gave it up right then. How many times have we understood some activity we're doing doesn't please our spiritual master? We hold on to that due to our attachments. And the additional point is that the Lord, as it explains all throughout this verse from today's Bhagavatam study, is that the Lord is situated in the heart. And he understood Mukunda's change. And he became very pleased with him, and then readily gave his mercy. So this is a very important point here. There's many aspects to this pastime that we should study and understand. Now, additionally, there was one time during some of these pastimes at Sri Vasangam that Mahaprabhu dressed himself as a goddess of fortune. And this is in the house of Chandrasekhar, to engage in one performance there. And Mukundada was the one to sing the songs glorifying that particular mood. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to take to the renounced order of life, Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 26, explains to us that he first went to the house of Mukundada. But at that time, Mukundada requested, "My dear Lord, please, not yet. Just a few more days stay with us. Just a few more days continue with the Sankirtan movement." So in this way, Mukundada was able to delay the sannyas lila of Mahaprabhu. And the information of Lord Chaitanya accepting the sannyas order of life and going to Duryodhana all was known to these individuals, four in number: Gadadhar Pandit, Chandrasekhar Acharya, Mukundada, and Nityananda. And all of them went with him to Katwa, where hair was shaved. Many, many interesting stories. So first of all, in Katwa, they have the Samadhi of Mahaprabhu's hair. Very, very interesting place to go to. And this is also the place of the pastime of Madhu Steele, who was the barber. When Mahaprabhu was there with these associates getting ready to have his head shaved, Baba was just looking at him, and Mahaprabhu looked and said, "Are you a barber or are you not a barber? Will you engage you for the service? Are you going to do it or not?" Yes, sir. And then he looked at his shaving cream and the razor and looked at Mahaprabhu again, and Mahaprabhu came and said, "So?" You can imagine the scene. Who wants to be the one to cut the hair and turn Munai Pandit into a renunciate? Anyway, his entire profession was as a barber. So he did so. But what did he do after he cut Mahaprabhu's hair? He took his razor, he snapped it in half, he threw it down and said, "I will never cut another hair in the rest of my life." And he became a sweet maker.
What?
A sweet maker. Whiskey. Anyway, that all took place in Kathmandu, and Mukundada was there for that activity. Mukundada was also wanting to be present at the very pivotal moment between Ananda and Mahaprabhu, Tri Bangadanda, at Jati Ajaleshwar, when Nityananda took Mahaprabhu's Ekadanda sannyas rod and broke it into three places and threw it into the river. This was, of course, the impetus when Mahaprabhu left and went forward like this. So in this way, we see there was a very strict mood with Mukundada by Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada was also very strict with many of us as young neophyte disciples about going here and going there and listening to this and hearing from that one and all. He was very, very protective of us. So this is what we see in this pastime with Mukunda and Mahaprabhu. Now, Mahaprabhu was not always so serious with his associates, as we see from the example of Kulavesha Sridhar. Kulavesha Sridhar is also known as Sridhar Pandit. Sridhar Pandit lived in Navadvip, on the island of Antadvip, and he lived in the northern part of that island from where our Mayapur area is, just a little bit near the Chandkazi Samadhi Lila pastimes there. And his place, so many pastimes took place there that his home became known as Sridhar Angam, just as we have Sridhar Angam. So it was there, and that whole area at the time of him living there was a banana orchard. If you go there now, there's very, very few banana trees. It's not, I've been to this place, and it's mostly all open fields for different types of agriculture. But at the time, it was a banana orchard. And in this particular incarnation, Kulavishya Sridhar played the role of a poor Brahmin who made his living selling the produce from his banana garden. And the area around this residence is very, very nice and peaceful place. It's relatively close to the Ganga, but not right at it. And Mahaprabhu would perform Nagasana Kirtan and would end up at the Kirtans there often at Sridhar's house because the gardens were so refreshing. And this place also became known as Yashvam Stana, the place where the Lord would rest. And Jiva Goswami took Nityananda, Nityananda took Jiva Goswami to this place when he was giving him his Navadvipa Parikrama. Now, the interesting thing about Sridhar, Kulavishya Sridhar, he lives in a banana orchard. He lives in a part of the world where bananas grow everywhere. Not like at my house. I've got three bunches of bananas that have ripened on my tree. Well, they haven't ripened, but they've manifest on my banana trees. And it's doubtful they're ever going to do anything. We just live too far north. I mean, some people get some, but I haven't had any such luck. But this wasn't the case of Kulavishya Sridhar. His entire area was filled with banana trees. And he made his living out of collecting bananas, making them into banana cups and, you know, plates and selling those. How much money can you make selling something that everybody can go right out in the street and pick for themselves? But this is what he did, and this is why it's referred to. He had a leela of being a poor Brahmin. And additionally, anything he sold, 50% of that he used in the worship of Mother Ganga. Now, we generally see in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu that towards his elders, and Kulavishya Sridhar was no doubt an elder, Mahaprabhu was always very respectful. Dvaitacharya, right, Gupta, all of these different personalities, very, very respectful. But in the pastimes with Kulavishya Sridhar, he was very amusing, very funny, very playful. Why is this, we might ask? Here again, Gaura Gonadesha Deepika gives us that answer. The cowherd boy named Kushama Shava, who joked with Lord Krishna and made him laugh all the time in Vrajabhumi, appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as the Brahmana known as Kulavishya Sridhar. So there's the answer. This was his eternal relationship with the Lord to give him laughing pleasure. So in this way, he had this little stall, and he would sell these different banana tree products, and, you know, as I say, give 50% of his activities for, you know, satisfying the Lord's, for satisfying worship from Mother Ganga. And one day Mahaprabhu showed up at his place, and he asked him, you know, Kulavishya, why are you so poor? You're worshiping Vishnu, who's the wife, the goddess of sufficient Lakshmi Devi. Yet you don't have enough food to put a proper roof over your head or buy sufficient clothing. Your house is all falling apart. And on the other hand, all of your neighbors, they're worshiping Goddess Chandi, Goddess Kali. And they have an abundance of material wealth. I think you should give up your worship of Krishna and should worship Kali instead. Then you will get the benefit that you need. And sure, in front of the Lord, what? I'm not interested in any material opulence. I'm quite happy in the position I have. I only want to gain unflinching faith in service of the Lord. And then Mahaprabhu would say to Kulavishya, he said, he said, externally you're appearing to be very poor, but I know that actually you're a very rich man. And in short time I will show the entire foolish world your true wealth and your true position. So, again, we find from Chaitanya Bhagavat the description of Kulavishya Sridhar. Behold the great fortune of the devotee Kulavishya. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva shed tears upon seeing his humility. One cannot attain Lord Krishna by any amount of wealth, followers alone. Similarly, Mahaprabhu can only be controlled by pure devotion, which was manifest in the Kulavishya. Now, as mentioned, Mahaprabhu very much enjoyed joking pastimes with him. And Mahaprabhu would sometimes come to Kulaveshwar's and he would take bananas right off the little selling stall he had. And now, Kulaveshwar should have had a quality like Yudhishthira, in that he never told anything but the truth. So his price was always a very reasonable fixed price. Interesting. I had this little bump on the end of my tongue. It's called a tongue fib. So I asked my dentist, what is this? He said, oh, that. He said, that's very common. He said, have you told any lies? I said, excuse me? He said, well, we call that a fib bump in the trade. It comes when we tell a lie. I said, what do you do? I said, I'm a salesman. Of course I lie. That's the very nature of sales. So this wasn't Kulaveshwar's business. He stated exactly what the price would be, and that was it. So nobody would haggle with him. They would just come and pay the proper price and go on their way. But Mahaprabhu would come, and he would take the bananas and say, what is the price? And Kulaveshwar would say such and such. He said, oh, that's too much. What do you mean too much? No, I'll give you such and such. No, I'm not giving you. Give me those bananas back. No, I'm going to. And back and forth they would go, actually tugging back and forth on the bananas. And in the marketplace, all the other market, vendors, they would all watch, and here's Mahaprabhu and Kulaveshwar would come out from behind his stall, and they're in the street pulling back and forth with bananas. I'll give you so much. No, I don't want this much. You give me that much. You know, back and forth, and everyone's laughing and watching this. And finally, Kulaveshwar would jump up and grab the bananas and go back and say, just go away. I don't want to deal with you. So in this way, there would appear to be this angry, joking, and Mahaprabhu would laugh very, very much at it. And in reality, it explains that Kulaveshwar Shridhar was looking at the beautiful form of the Lord and would not let him go without this exchange between them. And at the sight of the Lord's beauty, he would very happily engage in this type of activity. Another time, Sankirtan was being finished. I mean, this pastime with the bananas goes on and on and on and on, and many, many details to it. There was another time where Mahaprabhu was out with Sankirtan, and this is a very, very important point. They were going to Sankirtan. They had just been to the Chankazi area and delivered Chankazi, and, you know, because Sridhar's residence is very near there. And so after that, they returned to Sridhar Pandit's house, and the Lord saw his tumbled down shack of a home, and he laughed quietly with an inner joy of happiness. And so he led the devotees to Sridhar's hut, and there at the front, just near where one would put their shoes or wash their feet, whichever, if they had shoes, there was an iron pot of water, and that iron pot even had some holes in it and all, and, you know, and there was a little bit of water in there, and Mahaprabhu took the pot and drank that water. And when Sridhar saw that Mahaprabhu took this water from the iron pot at his front door and drank it, he fell unconscious. He was just overwhelmed with just, you know, horror, practically. You know, he felt, how is it possible that the Lord has taken this water from my front door like this and drunk it? And you know, when Mahaprabhu, being very, very affectionate, he took what was left of that and shared it with all the devotees. Now, Chaitanya Bhagavat explains to us that Mahaprabhu's action is meant to teach us that even by drinking water in the home of a devotee, we can attain devotional service. And he wanted to show that even if it's an old, rusty jug, as far as Mahaprabhu was concerned, it was like nectar. But the contrast is mentioned that even if someone with very great wealth and pride and arrogance gives to Mahaprabhu water in a jeweled goblet, he will not take it. So, in this way, so many pastimes take place with Kulaveshwar Shridhar. One other pastime was that Kulaveshwar understood Mahaprabhu was taking sannyas, and he came to him and gave him a gourd, loki. And Mahaprabhu accepted. You know, sometimes you go to someone and he gives you a present, and he says, I experience this a lot traveling with Indrajitha Swami. Somebody gave him a present, and he and I both look at him and go, what am I supposed to do with this? You sometimes they're not the most practical things, you know, but they're always offered with great love and devotion, so I always accept them the same way. Mahaprabhu accepted this gourd and he laughed and he said, Sridhar, where did this come from? And Sridhar said, I've grown it in my gardens and I brought it here for you. And so he said, I know that in the next day you will take sannyas and renounce all rich foods, that, palatable foods that rich men eat. So I do not want this to go to waste. So Mahaprabhu said, all right, I'll give it to Satchimata and she will cook it down with some milk and make it into one of my favorite preparations. So this is also described in Chaitanya Bhagavata. So in this way, these two devotees, Mukunda Dutt and Kolaresha Sridhar, had seemingly very different relationships with Mahaprabhu, but both had the same result of getting the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll finish there today, finish up the verse that Madhavati started, although this wasn't as erudite of a presentation as hers. And then speaking about these two great acharyas, we're just at the bewitching time. We'll be on that. If anybody has any questions or comments, we'll try to field those quickly, but then we all have our day's activities to go on. Nothing? Anybody? Okay.
Maybe.
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Thanks, Prabhu, for a very nice class. My question is from the translation. It says, Super Self is a partial representation of the Supreme.
Mm.
I understand that analogy of sun, surface, and the core of the sun, but it's still that not clear how much different Paramatma is from the Bhagavan itself.
Mm. Prabhupada sometimes gives the example, if you have a candle and you light many candles from that, they are different, but they have similar potency. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead has unlimited incarnations. Not all of them are the same potency. For instance, Vishnu and Krishna, same personality, but four particularly different qualities. Krishna has the flute, enjoys his childhood pastimes, or loving to go like that. And you know, so Vishnu, so in each way, it's the same personality, but the four qualities are a little different. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Paramatma is the same as Krishna, but a preliminary portion. And the detail of portions and preliminary portions only is very elaborately explained in the third canto. So that might be a good reference point. But the Lord is present, but in different ways. You know, it's like this original candle, all the other candles are there, but they came from this candle. So similar potency, but not quite exactly the same. What is this here? This is completely different subject, so I'll read this at the end. What was it done?
Didn't just sum it up.
Yeah, I'll read it. That was the question you had? Yeah.
No, my question is, you mentioned in the beginning, Dharma Katha.
Which one?
Brahma Katha.
Oh,
he less talk, he's less talk. Whatever the city people and town people, they talk also nonsense and silly. But why Brahma, why village is like all of their keys?
This is the description of Bhagavatam. Grimna refers to the village. But village, city, town, world, universe, take your pick, insert whatever word works. The idea is Katha that is only about the Grimna, about the activity going on in the village, only about the activity going on in the home like that. This is why it's described as kukata, bad words, because they're not glorifying the Supreme Personality of God.
People who see this can do village talk, what's the problem? Why you not really? Why not see? Because it's supposed to be simplistic.
We'll let these two debate village and city life. I'm supposed to make this statement, we're going to finish class now, but this is... this is from Mother Mukya. If anybody is coming back from New York, if you would please quarantine before attending any of the temples. The number of devotees throughout the East Coast that have returned that are getting home with COVID is actually much larger than just one or two. Devotees in Potomac and on the Kushoyatra and you know, like that. So we just ask him, take a couple of days, be careful if you're not symptomatic. So, you know, the usual stuff we've been doing for the last 3 freaking years of our life. Alright. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Bhagavatam. All glories to Mukundadat. All glories to Kulavesha Srila Hare
Krishna. And all glories to Chaturatma.
Because I think
he broke the park, I'm not the
village.